Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're digging into a big one, the $1.6 billion GPB capital fraud case. We'll look at the recent sentencings too.
Yeah, quite the fallout.
Our goal is really to help you understand, you know, how this scheme worked, who was involved, and what lessons we can actually pull from it.
And we're drawing on the DOJ press release and a pretty detailed report on the whole affair.
Right. So let's jump in. GPB Capital pops up in 2013. What was the initial pitch?
Well, they were targeting investments in things like auto dealerships and waste hauling.
Oh.
And the big hook was this promise of an 8% annual return.
Which sounds pretty good, especially back then with interest rates so low, this idea of income-producing private equity.
Exactly. It was a real draw. The key figures here were David Gentile, the founder, Jeffrey Schneider, who ran the placement agent, Ascendant Capital, and Jeffrey Lash, managing partner.
Okay, and we know Gentile and Schneider just got sentenced, right? 7 and 6 years?
That's right. Lash had already pleaded guilty earlier, and he cooperated.
So this income-producing idea,
yeah,
how real was it?
Well, that's the core of the fraud, really. The sources suggest about $100 million paid out wasn't income at all. It was new investor money being used to pay earlier investors.
Ah, so a Ponzi-like setup, basically.
Pretty much, yeah. A classic sign.
And what about these performance guarantees I read about?
Right, that was another layer. To make certain funds look better, specifically Holdings I and GPBAP, Lash apparently created backdated guarantees.
At the direction of Gentile and Schneider.
That's what the conviction found, yes. They essentially moved money around to create a false paper trail, making it seem like these guarantees were paying out.
Wow, and that helped them raise even more money.
Significantly more. Another $1 billion reportedly came in based, at least partly, on that inflated performance.
Which brings the total raise to, what, $1.6 billion?
From thousands of investors?
Over 10,000 investors, yeah, across several funds. It was huge.
So when did things start to, you know, wobble? When did the facade crack?
The first real signs of trouble emerged around 2018. GPB missed crucial SEC filing deadlines. And then they stopped paying distributions.
Correct. Abruptly suspended them. Investors haven't seen a dime in return since that point.
That must have set off alarm bells.
Oh, absolutely. That's when investigations ramped up. You had the FBI raiding their offices in early 2019, the SEC, DOJ, various state agencies. It became a multi-agency effort.
Leading to the indictments in 2021 and, well, the convictions just recently in August 2024, what about the investors now? Is there any recovery happening?
It's tough. The company's in receivership now. There was an initial payout plan approved, about $400 million for some of the fund's investors.
Any idea what percentage they might get back?
Estimates are floating around, maybe 30 to 60 cents on the dollar. But it's still uncertain, and there's a claims deadline coming up fast, May 2025.
Let's circle back to Ascendant Capital and Jeffrey Schneider. His role seems critical, and his background.
Yeah. That's quite something. Schneider had what's described as a long and troubled history in the industry. Fundraise broker checks showed terminations, suspensions, fines, even being denied registration in Illinois.
And investors weren't told about this.
Apparently not disclosed, which is a huge failure in transparency, isn't it?
Definitely. And it wasn't just Ascendant, was it? Lots of broker dealers were selling GPB.
Dozens of firms, yeah. And they were earning hefty commissions, like 7 to 10%, over $167 million in commissions paid out.
Which raises that question about incentives again. Did the high commissions cloud their judgment on due diligence?
You have to wonder. There were reports of things like falsified client net worth, red flags like Schneider's history, the filing delays. Finero did end up finding about 15 firms later on.
Compared to, say, Madoff or Stanford's, how do these sentences for Gentile and Schneider stack up?
Well, Madoff and Stanford involved vastly larger sums and got, you know, effectively life sentences. The GPB sentences are significantly shorter.
Why the difference, do you think?
Sentencing is complex. It considers the amount, victim impact, the sophistication of the scheme, cooperation. There's certainly some debate about whether these sentences were lenient, given the scale.
What are the bigger takeaways here? The ripple effects.
Well, obviously, it damages investor trust. Especially when accredited, supposedly sophisticated investors get hit like this. It really hammers home the need for deep due diligence.
Skepticism about those high, guaranteed-sounding returns.
Absolutely. Especially in opaque markets like private placements. Look for red flags, pressure, documentation issues, the background of the people involved. It also raises questions about regulation, maybe even revisiting who qualifies as an accredited investor.
Right. So we've covered the scheme, the players, the collapse, the aftermath.
And the lessons learned, hopefully.
Which leads us to maybe a final thought for you, the listener. Considering this fraud targeted supposedly savvy investors and involved intermediaries, what more could actually be done? What further safeguards could realistically prevent these kinds of large-scale deceptions in these less transparent corners of the market? Something to think about.